music is music to the soul. There's a power in music. You know, if you're depressed, if you feel you're kind of under it and you have to wash the floor, or clean the bathrooms, or do dishes, or the laundry, or whatever, put on praise music and let it run. It helps to lift the spirit. We are in a fallen world, and Ephesians 2:3 says that Satan is the prince of this world. We are in his kingdom, but we are not of his kingdom. We are of God's kingdom. Say, I am a child of God.
I am in Christ.
And he has provided all my needs
according to the riches of his glory.
Is that true?
Yes,
it's true. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this extra equipment. Father, we come before you again with praise and adoration, bowing ourselves before you, Father, prostrate in mind, in will, in emotion, in humility before you, in total submission, Father, to the glory and the greatness and the power and the wisdom of who you are. You are the great and mighty God, Father, and we are your children, and we look to you for sustenance, Father, for well-being, for significance, for acceptance, for belongingness, Father, for relationships, relationship with you first, then, Father, and then relationships with others. Father, you know the individual need of each individual heart here. Father, you know the longing of the individual hearts. You know the joys that are in our lives. You know the difficulties, the hard places, the things that we will go down the hill to face, Father, the things that are in our background that have tripped us up in the past or have been an extremely painful area, Father, and yet you know the joy of who you are, Father, and you know the joy of the plan that you have to use whatever this is in our past or in the present or in the future, Father, for your glory and our well-being and for your gospel to go forth in power. And Father, I pray that not one circumstance, not one physical ailment, not one relationship, good or bad, will work to the detriment of the furtherance of your kingdom in the life of each one of us. Father, take your word, take us as your vessels, put the two of them together, Father, and use us. May daily our lives have eternal value. Father, I pray that we will be open vessels before you and transparent with one another, Father, so that we can work together and help one another and encourage one another and be vessels of encouragement one to another. Teach us how to pray, Father. Show us your plan for being in your word, your plan of study, your plan of meditation, your plan of incorporating the scripture within. And then, Father, may we commit to walking in the light of that. Father, take these remaining moments and put it together so that it honors you, Father, and it's for our good. We state, Father, we come with listening ears now. We come with a teachable spirit, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to teach each one of us and to move us forward in the growth pattern that you would have for each one of us. Father, now take this time. Again, we bind the enemy and his ways of deception, Father, and trying to steal on those jagged thoughts he sends to our minds and our hearts, Father, and we say we don't want any part of that. We choose to tell him to be gone in Jesus' name. We choose truth and righteousness and love and power and wisdom, which all belong to you, and righteousness, Father. We put on the full armor of God, Father. We stand against Satan's wiles. We choose truth over error, Lord Jesus. And fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might not sin against you. Now take this time, Father. May it be pleasing to you, Father. And may it work for our good. And we thank you now in Christ's holy and powerful name. And one other little P.S., Lord. I pray for that one in here or those ones who have, they're hurting so deeply, Father, that maybe she can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will so minister to her that she will have hope, Father. Use this now, Father, this time, I pray. Fill my mouth with your words, Father. Organize my mind and my thoughts. Pray in Christ's holy name, amen. 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 Okay, speaking of prayer, you know, one prayer that we could take and use the rest of our lives to pray for ourselves and our loved ones is this one in Colossians 1. There's a lot of wonderful prayers in Scripture. Become a student of the prayers in Scripture and then make them your own and then share them with others and pray them for yourself and others. This is the one in Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And Paul's writing to the people in Colossae. And he says, for this reason, and the reason if you read further up is because of their hope and faith and love. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, your hope and faith and love, there it is. Well, I just picked up two, faith and love for all the saints. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, O Lord, fill us, with a knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk worthy of you, Lord, pleasing you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to your glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to his kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, forgiveness is at the heart of salvation. That's why Satan doesn't want us to forgive. That's why tonight is so important. I'm going to just re-pray this prayer, and you just pray for your family as we do this, okay? Because maybe you didn't have time to zero in on them, your loved ones. Lord, we pray right now in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for each one of our loved ones, for ourselves too, Father. We pray for the church staff, Father, and all the leaders in our church, every single person who has a place of responsibility. We pray for our family members, mothers and fathers, children, grandchildren, our in-laws, Father, sisters, brothers, those grandbabies, Father, our employers, those people we really don't like very well, Father. We're to love them, Father, but we don't ever want them really to be our best friends. We pray for each one, Father, that we all will be filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk worthy of you, Lord, pleasing you in all respects, that we may bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, that we may be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to you, Lord. We are grateful. We want to express that. We're grateful for salvation. We're grateful for life in Christ. We're grateful for the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're grateful for your word, Father. We're grateful for the joy of the Lord, Father. We're grateful for your wisdom and your righteousness and your holiness and your love. And, Father, for the fact that you've qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness, and we are transferred to the kingdom of your beloved Son. Thank you for redemption, Father, and for the forgiveness of sins. And we pray this now in Jesus' wonderful and holy name. Amen. Amen. Yep, prayer's part of it, isn't it? Okay, let's come back and re-talk about who we are in Christ. I keep coming back to it because it's at the heart of what we're talking about. Three things are needed for a balanced, progressing maturity, okay, for each one of us. One is to know who God is, that's tomorrow morning. One is to know who we are, that was last night and today. And one is to know who the enemy is, and that's this afternoon. Okay, and I want to talk a little bit about Satan's tactics. This is not related to this afternoon. This is in addition to it. You have a sheet that looks like this. And this is a little sheet I got from a gal that was way up there. She had been Vonette Bright's assistant. That wasn't her title, but anyway, she was right under her, and her helper, administrative assistant maybe was the title, I don't remember. Anyway, she gave me this sheet, as you have it in your notebook. And I want to come back to who we are in Christ and some of the lies that Satan tells us. One of the lies is that you're a sinner. And you would write this in on that sheet. You can do that right now if you want to. That you are a sinner because you sin. You say, well, that's true. No, it is not true. That was true before you became a Christian, but now you are where? In Christ. You are what?
A child of God.
which makes you a saint. And if you were to open up the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 2, do you know what the Corinthians were into? To Corinthianize was a word for prostitution, and the saints were into this prostitution. You went to the temple, and the way you worshipped was to be in prostitution, okay? And yet he didn't call them you sinners by calling. He called them you saints by calling. Alcoholics Anonymous does a wonderfully good work. And they get up and they say, I'm an alcoholic? What do alcoholics do? They drink. What do sinners do? They sin. What do saints do? Progressively move on with the Lord. We saint. You know? I mean, isn't that true? It's the reprogramming of the mind. I'm a miserable sinner. I'm a saint who's progressing. And help, Lord, in those areas where I need help. I mean, is Philippians 4:19 true or isn't it true? Is it a lie or is it truth? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Is that true or isn't it true?
It's true.
It's true. One of the problems is that we don't understand the difference between a goal and a desire. Now, if your goal is to be to have a harmonious family atmosphere, who can block that goal? Everybody in your family. So can that be a goal? No, but it can be a desire. Lord, I want to be the best mother I can be. Is that a goal or a desire? What is it? It would be a goal, because who can block that? Only you. If you're in ministry, I don't see Pat. I guess she isn't back yet. But if you were Pat, and you were ministering as she does, if your goal was to see every woman in the church saved and growing, is that a legitimate goal?
No.
Every woman, if she wanted to, could block that goal. But that could be a desire. Even Jesus had the desire. In 1 Peter 3, he said, it's not my desire that any be lost. So if your goal is that each one of your kids come to know Lord Jesus Christ, who can block that? Every one of them. They could. Now you're going to pray. You know, go. I have David's name written in, I don't know how many verses, but increasingly as I'm reading the scripture, I find more and more and more verses where his name is written, where God alludes to his power or his wisdom or drawing them. I mean, is God all-powerful? He is all-powerful. Is he all-wise? Yeah. Is he total love? Absolutely. Is it his desire that David be saved and walk with the Lord? Yes. Now, David says he's saved. But I have never really seen any fruit. He lives for himself, total selfishness. He's into cars and trucks. He gets his self-image out of the big tires on the truck. That's why you see these kids walking around with these crazy hairdos. That's where they're getting their identity from. And the weird clothes, that's where they're getting their identity from. So when you set your goals, make them in line with what God has to say to you and to what you can respond to, and it has nothing to do with circumstances, events, or people. And then make your desires in line with what your circumstances are and in line with what people are involved with. Because people can block goals if they're involved in the goal. But your desires can be involved with people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Does anybody have a question on that? That's really important because, you know, New Year's comes around and we sit down and we rewrite what we wrote before or bring in a couple of new ones or drop a couple of old ones. And if your desire is in line with God's word, which involves circumstances and people, then that'll be accurate. And if your goal is in relationship to God and in relationship to yourself with God, then that will be accurate. But if your goal involves circumstances, those circumstances can fall apart. Or if they involve people, they can fall apart, and you will feel defeated. That's a neat truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if your goal is to be a godly wife, who can block that goal? Just you. But if your goal is to make your husband successful, who can block that goal? Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about Satan's lies and God's truth here. Okay. So what you would write down, what's the lie that I have been told? That I'm a sinner saved by grace. You say, well, that's scriptural. But it doesn't go far enough. So what is the truth? I'm a saint who occasionally sins, so stop it. That is the truth. Okay? So that you could write that in there. I am declared righteous. Let's add that to that. I am a saint. I am declared righteous, which would be verse 30. You are righteous. You have Christ's righteousness, even if, you know, you have a moment of selfishness or a moment of jealousy or whatever, who sometimes sins. I am righteous, plus R is righteousness, who sometimes sins. Now, is that truth? Yes, that's truth. This is a lie, Satan's lie. Okay, second one. You get your identity from what you've done. Is that a lie or a truth? It's a lie. You don't get your identity from what you've done. You get your identity from what? From being in Christ. Okay, so your identity is from what God has done. I guess I shouldn't do that. That's my symbol for God. God has done for you. For what God has done for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 1:12, but as many as believed him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. Our identity is in Christ. It's not from what we've done. The third lie. You get your identity from what people say to you. You're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly. You're a failure. You'll never succeed. You'll never amount to anything. Like Bonnie's mother said to her at the wedding, your marriage is going to fail and you'll never have a baby. She had a DNC last Monday night. The baby had been dead for 2 weeks in the womb. Is that true? No, it's not true. It is not true. It is not true. You know, people say things, they say, you're a wimp. That's what somebody said to me. My strength comes from the Lord and from obedience. Okay, I've got cleaner eye ducts than you do. Okay, so you get your identity from what God says about you. Ta-da! Okay. Okay, your behavior tells you what to believe. about yourself? Truth or a lie? Huh? Oh, no, I guess that's right, what people say to you. Okay. What is the truth? It's your belief about yourself that determines your behavior. And what do saints do? They walk in obedience. And when you've blown it, you confess it, say, Lord, I'm weak in this area. In the point where I'm weakest, make me strong. When I was in first grade, I broke my leg. And as that healed, the doctor said, where you have that break, your leg will be stronger than where there isn't a break. For the Christian to Christianize that, where you are the weakest, that's where your dependency on the Lord will be the greatest. Isn't that a nifty principle? I mean, Lord, I can't do that. I cannot do that. It's not in me. I don't have it to do it. But your strength in me, it is your will for me to do that. Your strength in me will enable me. And Lord, I choose to climb up on the altar and give myself to you as a living sacrifice. And don't leave your bodies neutral, women. Give your bodies to the Lord. I give you my body, Lord. And I give you myself, and I ask for your greatest potential for me to be fulfilled. For your glory, Father, and the furtherance of your kingdom. I can't, Lord, but as Jesus said, my dependence is totally upon you. John 5:30. Well, it's here somewhere. There it is. You know, you put out this wonderful table, and then I didn't even, you know, and you can add more scriptures to it, but, oh, it takes the overhead to do this. Let's read this aloud. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul is speaking to the Christians in Rome. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Is that the desire of your heart? Commit that to memory. I don't know, I went through at least a year. It might have been longer, I don't remember now. And I said that every morning before I jumped out of bed. I said, Lord, I give my body as a living sacrifice, which is acceptable to you and is part of my worship for you. And Father, I choose not to be conformed according to the world, and I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what your will is, that it is good, acceptable, and perfect. Is that true? God's not talking about perfection in this life, ladies. He's talking about progression. You should be able to look back and say, 5 years ago, I'm not that woman, praise the Lord. I am moving. You should be able to even look back 6 months. I don't think I would crowd it any closer than that, but 6 months and say, Lord, I can see progression even in 6 months. If you can look back 6 months and say, Lord, I don't see any progression, go talk to Pat. Go talk to Dottie. Go talk to Joanne. Go talk to Marnie. This woman has a beautiful spirit. She has a beautiful spirit, and she's so young.
Time for a hug.
Yeah. She's beautiful. I fell in love with her over the phone. I love you. Yeah. Isn't it neat? You can meet a Christian just anywhere, and your spirits just come together, and you know, I know I'd love you. I know I would. I do love you. I do. I love you all. Do I have it all together? Obviously not. I mean, you can tell I don't have it all together. You know, and if you love me, that's God's grace. Well, so you can add to that sheet. And you say, that's not true. Write it down on the sheet. What is the truth? And get the scriptures and line them up. And then program your mind according to those scriptures. That's really neat. Okay, let's just talk a quickie about relationships here. And whoopsie-doo. Not in there. I don't see it. Okay, we'll do it without it. I am known as an artist. Terrific. Here you are. I don't even bother to put arms on it. But that's so that you know that that's you, okay? I'm sorry. Okay. Bad hair day. Yeah. You know, in thinking about this message, I went back in my life. My parents did not put a poor self-image on me. And I went back to see the progression of it, and I thought, it started in third grade where I went to a birthday party. She had curly hair, blonde curly hair, a pretty birthday dress on. I was in a plain, clean, probably starched back then, I don't remember, dress. My hair was bobbed, my hair straight, my hair was bobbed and shingled up the back, and these little round wire glasses, which I wouldn't touch with a $50 million gift because I hated them then. And I thought, she's pretty and I'm not. Nobody said that to me, but I put that on myself. Third grade. I got to sixth grade, and that teacher seated us with the smartest person back in that corner, and they went this way, and then they came this row, and I sat right there, and then they went this way the rest of the classroom. I thought, I'm not as smart as those 10 people that are ahead of me. Sixth grade. Seventh grade, they put it on the board. Top person, and I ended up about seventh. Moving up. And so I put it on myself, that progression of achievement. When I went back to Biola to get my master's in Christian Ed, I re-put that back on me to get a 4.0. How many of you are aware of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance? Break your foot if you drop it on you? Okay, I had the teacher who did the editing for the New American Standard Exhaustive Concordance, Dr. Thomas. Precious heart. It was my last semester. It was interim, which meant 3 weeks to take this full course. He never missed a syllable. He gave the whole course in 3 weeks. Test every night over 200 pages of reading. Exam every week over what would be a full quarter. I went on 2, 3, and 4 hours sleep for those 3 weeks. I had to have the class to graduate. I was due to graduate in May. And my goal of a 4.0 went where? He blocked my goal. It should have been a desire, but it was a goal, and I was driven. I had to have the class. I had to have it. He had the most precious heart. It would have been intolerable for me if he had not been a godly man. You know, I loved him. And I thought, he's so much higher than me academically. I mean, he's way up there, and I'm a meat and potato kid down here. You know, Lord, just get me through. And with each test and with each night's homework, pardon me, Ginny, Candy, you walk on him. I'm walking on him, too, Mandy. Anyway, my grades got a little better and a little better, and if I'd had long enough, I would have brought my grade up to a B. I ended up with a C. But I started out with a minus D. You know, and I thought, and that class went from, I don't know, 30 people down to about six. I mean, we had to have it. Now, he's no longer there, and now it's a snap. But that was the hardest, you know how things are known. It was the hardest class at seminary. But I had to have it to graduate. And I thought, Lord, just get me through. I cannot tell you what I learned in there. Nothing. It was just, do what I have to do to get through. You know, you've had situations. I'll do what I have to do to get through. What glory to the Lord is there in that? But he was so far above where I was, you know, and it wasn't my subject anyway. I'm an exhorter, if you haven't figured it out. Have you figured that out?
An encourager.
A little bit, yeah. You know, his was, anyway. When am I going to stop trying to perform? Can I put myself in heaven? Can I bring perfection? It's the Lord who takes us from glory to glory. But what I can do is I can put my body in the chair, open the Bible, and put my nose in the book. I can pray for you and for myself. And really, until you learn to pray for yourself, you're not going to really learn to pray for others. So take your hard place, say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me what I need to learn in this circumstance, and then use it. May this suffering have value, have eternal value. Don't let me go through this hard place and have it have no value. Don't let me suffer like this and not have it work for your kingdom's glory. And so when you have that state of mind, you say, okay, Lord, this is what it is. It's nasty. It's detestable. I hate it. I want out of it. I see no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm willing to obey. And when we get to that point, then we begin to see God's progression. And he may or may not lift it. And I think God will allow some things in our lives to remain until we get to that point where we say, Lord, it's okay. If this is what I've got to live with the rest of my life, if circumstances do not change, if that does not change, I am willing to live with that, and I'm going to do it with a sweet spirit and a right attitude, and I'm going to glorify you here today in this, what I would call a very raunchy situation, for your glory, Father, and for my good. Lord, I give myself to you to develop the character that you want in me. And now teach me from your word, and then put your nose in that book. And God will never lay it out in front of you. You've got to get yourself in the chair and open the book. He won't give you the time. You've got to take the time to do it. And then you will begin to have joy, not in the circumstances, but in who he is and in who you are in him. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? And God really will be taking you from glory to glory, and that miracle in the mirror will begin to take place. My mom told me, my mom was saved. She was raised in the old-time Methodist church. She knew who the Lord was. My dad was not. My dad's father was an alcoholic. My dad would go to the bars and bring his dad and his brother home from the bars. My dad was seduced. As a young kid, they had no money. They lived in Pittsburgh. He worked for the Philharmonic as an usher. It was late at night. He was walking home. There was a lady that had been there. She said, would you mind walking me across this vacant field? He did, and she raped him. And that set in motion an immoral lifestyle, which I praise God I knew nothing about because I felt secure and safe. But my mother knew. And she lived with that all those years. My mother was a saint, you know what I mean? I never knew her to do anything wrong. I never heard her say anything wrong. We all have garbage like that back there. And it affects us. We don't realize the effect that it can have on us, but it all does affect us. And we can say, Lord, here it is. This is reality, but I choose to get in line with what your word says, and I commit to obey. I commit to obey. And I have this little commitment to obey right here. Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling Holy Spirit. I will obey regardless of the circumstances. If that's the desire of your heart, would you like to say that out loud? Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and indwelling Holy Spirit. I will obey regardless of the circumstances. or consequences and circumstances. Both. Yeah, let's reread that again. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling Holy Spirit, I will obey regardless of the consequences. And you could say, and circumstances. Why don't you say that if you want to? And circumstances. It's good to make these verbal commitments. It's like the doctrinal affirmation that I've included in your package of goodies there. It's good to proclaim truth. In preparation for coming, I sat down and took the hymn book and began reading the hymns, which I knew had sound doctrine. A lot of the hymns are good, but some of them don't have sound, accurate, biblically accurate doctrine. And I don't know how long I took, maybe 2 hours, and I read these hymns. And I'll tell you, when I got through, I felt like I was almost there. My soul and my, and this is, I don't sing to be heard, you know, I sing to rejoice in the Lord. And when I get to heaven, I will sing like you ladies sing. We all will. But I read those words, and I, you know, it just, the character of the Lord just blossoms and magnifies within our personalities when we zero in on who He is. So, okay. All right, here we are. You beautiful you. Oh, dear. Well, we'll give her a dress and we'll give her arms. Am I making this worse? Okay. That's all right. Some of you don't draw any better. So here's the other significant person in your life. And you can dress he or she however you want. Might be the man you're married to. If you're married to him, if you're married, that is the other significant person. If you're a single parent, it might be a child. If it might be your boss. I did this little exercise since my children are all grown and I'm, you know, since they're all adults and they're all doing their own thing, I did this little exercise by taking my boss, which Sally knows who that is, and she's a very confident woman. She's got guts in her soul. Can I say that? Intestinal fortitude. I mean, nothing deters her. She just... And it was good for me to be working with her for a period of time because I got to see her operate with such confidence. And we got to love each other because I was the opposite and more hesitant, and she just moved forward, and it really... And I was her assistant, so it worked out great. And Roger kept telling me, that's our CEO, he kept saying, you could be doing what she's doing. That's what he kept saying to me. Isn't that affirming? Isn't that affirming and neat? Anyway, okay, you got the other significant person. And I did this with her. God wants you and me to develop our own character. That, of course, means in Christlikeness. Character, is that spelled right? Okay, and meet this person's needs. It's God's business to develop character in that person. It's my responsibility to meet their needs. So this is what I'm to do for myself, and then I'm to meet this other significant person in my life to meet their needs. And then it's God's business to develop character here. And as God matures this person or works in this person will meet others' needs. Do you see that? Okay. Romans 15:7. Romans. Can't find Romans. 15:7 says, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So we are to accept one another as God in Christ has accepted us, and then meet this person's needs. And Philippians 2, you know how you remember where Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians all come? It's GEP. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. GEP. G-E-P. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Okay. Philippians. Okay, Philippians 2. Have this attitude in yourself, verse 5, which is was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, verse 4, or verse 3. Oh, we'll read the whole book. Philippians. Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to explain that Jesus went to the cross. He died for you and me so that we might have life in Christ. So, the project is to write down your three greatest needs. I think I'm going to let you do that right now. Write down your three greatest needs. What are your, as right where you are today, not tomorrow, not last week, today, what are your three greatest needs? And I'll redo that myself right now. If I had a pen, I would. Yes, I do have a pen. Piece of paper? All right. Got them written? Okay, if you need to, you can work on that later. Now, from week to week, that may change. A couple of them may stay the same. But you know what I just wrote? I mean, standing here right now, I wrote, my three greatest needs is to believe you, Lord, to walk in the light of that, and to rejoice always. Now, last week, it might have been different. Okay? And then what you do on your own time is to write the three greatest needs as you perceive it of this most significant other person in your life, to write down their three greatest needs. And when the occasion, if it's appropriate with that person in their stage of growth, to ask them, you know, you're out to dinner or something, or having lunch, or having fun, or playing golf, or whatever, you say, would you share with me what you think your three greatest needs are? If you're free to say, so I can pray for those for you, or so that we can just discuss it, or would you, you know, feel that you have the freedom to share what your three greatest needs are and to see if you were on target?
My character.
I'm not responsible for developing this person's character. I am responsible for developing my character.
So that's
a
vertical alignment.
Vertical alignment.
And then
but I am.
By virtue of that vertical alignment, I then meet someone else.
I am then, as God's working on this, and I'm, you know, in one with Him doing that, then that frees me up to accept this other person, and to meet their needs.
Aren't I setting myself up for failure?
In what way?
How can I meet someone else's needs? I know there's an esoteric value here in meeting someone else's needs, but
okay.
Is that a desire?
This is what I did with my boss. And I thought, what does she want me to do? What is her need in regards to me? Her need is for me, I mean, she's a person of action, was when she says something to do it immediately. Because sometimes I would be on a project and she would say, I think we ought to do this. That meant do it now. I mean, I observed this as I was working with her. I shared this with her, by the way, that I had done this. And our relationship went from to whoop. I was meeting her needs. She needed me right then. And so I did.
Flexible needs in regards to that.
Yeah, there are needs that I can meet. There are needs that I can meet. Yeah. I don't remember now what the other two were, but they were significant, and I shared them with her, and it was neat. We had a neat discussion. Because, you see, this is Freedom in Christ material that I'm sharing with you. And of course, she knows the material, and she takes people through the steps. And her husband is head of our counseling. Now, we are not a counseling agency, but people can call, and we will schedule them for 45 minutes. You know, they can have 45 minutes on the phone with different individuals that work in the ministry. And it's neat. It's really neat. But we are not. And then we try to refer them, you know, back. We try to just, you know, give a little encouragement. We don't call ourselves counselors. We call ourselves Bible encouragers. And then we refer them back to people who are familiar with the seven steps and who can help them and be on board on a one-on-one, face-to-face basis. So it's really neat. But her husband, he's a professional counselor, and he heads our counseling. And by the way, there will be a conference in Colorado Springs starting next week. Neil will be there. It'll run Sunday night through Thursday night. And the girl that I talked to last night, I brought you a brochure. I have that for you. It's the 26th. Start Sunday night, 26th. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and all day Saturday up to 5:30. That's the basic conference. And then within that context is an advanced conference, which has to do with those who are training people or counseling people or who want to be in the helping services and want to take that training. It's open to anybody, and that runs all day Thursday and all day Friday. So you have... Actually, you have, if you do the whole shebang, it's Sunday night through Thursday night, all day Thursday, just in the daytime Friday, and then up till 5:30 on Saturday. And it's wonderful, and it can be life-changing. And many people, once they go through the steps, need to do it several times. It's not just always a one-time deal. I've taken myself in privacy three or four times through the steps. I just did it again a couple of months ago. In preparation for coming in here, in preparation for moving into this new position I have with the ministry.
I have a question, too, regarding the needs. My needs that I wrote down are very different from what you said. Like, one of mine would be time for myself.
Okay, that's very significant.
Wouldn't like what you write be more of a means of meeting the needs? Like, wouldn't my...
No, that's very significant. That's very important. That's where you are today. You need time alone. How many kids do you have? She needs time alone. You need lots of time alone. You know, when I was a brand new Christian, my kids were, you know, I thought, where am I going to have my daily devotional time? One summer, I spent the summer, I put on my old crusty, and I had a crusty bathrobe, my flashlight, and my Bible, and I would go out to the car in the garage, and I would have my daily devotional time before the dog and the kids knew I was alive and well. I couldn't find it any other way. I spent one whole summer doing that, and it was precious. Sitting in the dark in the car, having an idea. You need time to yourself. That's absolutely on target, 100%. It's where you are today. Now, next week, you know, I probably still would have belief. I think I confess unbelief more than anything else. And then God, in that terrible, let me just read this awful, gross list to you, the cowardly and the unbelieving. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do any of you identify with me on that level of unbelief, lack of trust? Lack of trust. Yeah, let me just read this. Chapter 21. I think I said chapter 20 before. 21:8, but for the cowardly and the unbelieving, and abominable, now this is where God puts it all, and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. Where does it come out of? You know, who's the father of lies? It's his nature to lie. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What am I doing when I'm trafficking in unbelief? I'm believing a lie, which is right out of Satan's camp. Do you see the deception, ladies?
So are you saying that as we develop, as God develops my character,
yes,
my needs will be met by him developing my character.
Yes.
And then I can go through and accept my significant other and meet his needs.
That's right. That's right. So see, and your specific needs are the need to belong, the need for significance, the need for security, and the need for acceptance. And who meets all of that? God. God makes it. Make it your goal to know him. Daniel 11:32, those who know their God, will display strength and take action. Daniel 11:32, those who know their God will display strength and take action. Make it your goal to know him. Does he want you to know him? Yes. Is that a reasonable goal? A reachable goal? Increasingly, progressively, consistently to know him. All right. Well, Lord, lots of stuff we haven't covered here. Just real quick, I wanted to pick up, we have so much, it's all good stuff. I wanted to cover the area of how to combat fear. I have had some real fear areas. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. That's a stronghold. And we need to confess it. And if you say, Lord, in regards to this situation, I had fear, I confess that, I ask your forgiveness, and I renounce having fear in regards to that situation. And then find your Bible verses that will speak to that issue. This last summer, I had a group of about 12 women. We went through the video series of Neil's seminar, Resolving Personal and Spiritual Conflicts, what he's going to be giving at the Woodman Valley Chapel down there in Colorado Springs. We're in Colorado Springs. I was thinking of Denver. Do you know where that is? Woodman Valley Chapel? Yeah. It's on what street? Woodman Valley. Woodman? Yeah, it's in Colorado Springs. Yeah. Isn't it? Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what was I going to say? What's gone? What was I going to share about them? Oh, it was the most wonderful little exercise. I had them pair off in twos, and I was going to have us do it here, but we don't have time to do it. I was going to have them pair off and have them each share three fears, and then together they'd look up Bible verses that would refute those fears, and then we came back and we shared it together. When we left there, we were flying higher than a kite. It was wonderful that we had nailed the fears which are so common to women today, and we had Bible verses down that would refute those and speak to those issues. Powerful, powerful thing. If you get together with a bunch of girls and you want to know something to do, talk about that. Look up the verses and then share them together, and your hearts will just soar, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind.
Why don't we do that?
Why don't we do that? Because we've got 10 minutes. Oh, well, the whole Bible. It would be all the promises that speak to the fears that you and I experience. Okay, right now, somebody give me a fear.
Flying in airplanes.
Flying in airplanes. What would be a scripture that would speak to it? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you die, where are you going to go? Praise the Lord, huh? I mean, what's the worst that can happen to you? Die? Praise the Lord, huh? You're probably safer there than you are on the freeway. What's another fear? Failure. Where does success come from? Joshua 1:8. Get in, meditate on the word, and obey the word. God promises you success. Psalm 1, God promises you success. What's another fear?
Illness.
Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15, he is Jehovah Rapha. He said, I will heal all your diseases. Psalm 103. What? He heals all your diseases. Was it John 5, the blind man? It wasn't because of the sin of the parents. It was so that God could be glorified. You and I don't understand that. I do not understand that. I have a friend, godly woman, two mentally incapacitated children. Two. She's brilliant. She is brilliant. I mean, she's up there with Dr. Thomas.
two mentally handicapped children. Can you imagine this brilliant woman having that? Registered nurse. It was the making of the woman. She said her little daughter, which now must be close to 40, taught her love, and she was able to paraphrase Psalm 23 so that Laura learned that. And it spoke volumes to many, many people with hurting children like that. What's another fear? That your children won't be saved. What do you do with something like that? You find those scriptures. I don't know whether this is the Bible or not, but Isaiah 50. There's so many scriptures. Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture that is like that. And as you begin studying the scriptures, you will have their names written by it, you know, time and time again. I have one Bible, I have about that many scriptures written right there in the margin that have to do with David. Is God going to nail him? I don't know. George Mueller, who had that orphanage in England, 10,000 children that he fed, clothed, housed, educated, never asked for a dime from anybody, but he prayed and he had the gift of faith. Trucks would roll up, the kids would be sitting there for a meal, they didn't have any food. Trucks would roll up and give bread and have food on the table. They never went without food. He prayed for two people to be saved. Prayed 57 years. Never saw their salvation. He was asked during that period of time, will they be saved? He said, absolutely. He said, how can you say that? Because I'm praying. When he died, when his casket was being lowered into the ground, one of them came to the Lord. The other one was saved a short time later. He never saw it, but he believed God. If God's given you that kid, a gift of God, Sally's going to talk about. If God's given you that child and you have the heart for that child to be saved, do you think God, in his love and in his power, can't bring that boy or that girl to salvation? Can he? Absolutely. But I can't. And I can get in the way by putting my motherisms on him. I am to accept him and to love him as God in Christ loves me. And that gets me out of the way so that he can hear from God. He called me the night before I left home Thursday night and said, I'm thinking about moving home and putting my life back together and go to church. I haven't heard that go to church from him ever. And I was sharing it with Jerry and Sally as we were having breakfast at the airport. And Jerry says, he's trying to manipulate you. We need to talk. And there I am crying. And I say, you're ruining my makeup. Sally reached over and said, now, dear. See, I don't know. I'm really liking my independence. I'm liking coming home and having time to myself and doing what I want to without Frank telling me what to do. He was so good at that. I'm enjoying that. Do I want David to move home? I'm not sure. If it's God's best, I mean, Jeffrey was kind of wild out there. He moved home to put his life together, and that's a whole other long story of how God brought him down to absolutely nothing and then sent him to the mission field. I mean, it is a long, hard story for him. But if we had said no, maybe, I don't know whether that would have materialized. Am I willing to have him come home? Absolutely, if that's God's best. See, I don't know whether it's God's best right now. My mother's heart would say, come home, David. But I really don't want to watch the process. Painful. Okay, we got 3 minutes. Lord, what are we going to do for 3 minutes? Oh, Heavenly Father. All right, I think what I'm going to do, if I can find it. Oh, Lord, I don't even see it. It is significant. Oh, I know, it's in your little packet. It's on that green sheet. There it is. I have it written out somewhere for the overhead, but I can't find it. It's that assurance of salvation. It's on that same little sheet. We did the truth. Sally's going to do this with you this afternoon. Wonderful for children. Candy? Wonderful for children. This is assurance of salvation. And I'm just going to read it to you. And if this is the desire of your heart, sign it and date it. Today, I call upon the name of the Lord for my salvation. I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead in order that I might have eternal life. I now declare him to be the Lord of my life. I renounce any effort on my part to save myself. I renounce all accusations of Satan that would rob me of my full assurance of eternal life. I have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. I declare myself to be a child of God because of the finished work of Christ forever. If that's the desire of your heart, let's read it, and you can sign it and date it. Okay? Today, I call upon the name of the Lord for my salvation. I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead in order that I might have eternal life. I now declare him to be the Lord of my life. I renounce any effort on my part to save myself, and I renounce all accusations of Satan that would rob me of my full assurance of eternal life. I have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. I declare myself to be a child of God because of the finished work of Christ forever. So I give you a chance to put your little John Henry on that? Jeanette Henry? This is the 18th. It's good to do that, because then when Satan says, you think you're a child of God, look what you just did, you go back, you point your finger to that, and you say, scram. You got no right to me. I'm in out of your kingdom. I'm into God's kingdom. Be gone. Matthew 4:10. Jesus said, be gone. Out loud. With Satan you deal out loud. Food time. So let's pray. Father, there's so much that I haven't covered, and this has kind of been hodgepodge and whatever. I ask, Father, in the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the beauty of your character and the holiness of your character and your progressive increasing plan for each one of us to grow in maturity, that you put it all together, Father, in each one's life so that it works for your glory and our good. We give you ourselves, Father. We give you all the truths that we're hearing. We give you our hard places, our hurts, our places of rejection, Father, our little sore places, those places where we've been less than what we would like to be in our perfectionism, Father. We give them to you to work out, Father, for your glory and our good. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Christ. Thank you, Father, we're no longer sinners, but we're saved by grace through faith. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Thank you that we can receive Jesus into our heart to be the children that you want us to be. Thank you for eternal life, Father, and that it's settled in heaven. And there's nothing I can do to pluck myself out of your hand, Father, that you are with me. You will never leave me nor forsake me. You are unchangeable, Father. You're the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so I give myself again to you, Father. We give ourselves again to you for your glory, Father. Develop your beautiful character in us, Father. Hold us close when we're hurting, Father. Help us to keep focused on you and not on our circumstances and not on other people, not on our finances, not on our personalities, and certainly not on our problems, Father. But give us a way through those hard places, and we just thank you and praise you, Father. Seal to our hearts these truths that we've heard, and we just pray all this in Christ's wonderful and powerful name. And, Father, I pray for the food. May it nourish our body. May our fellowship be sweet around the table. And we praise you now. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.